Mark 9, chapter 9, verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him, and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Tonight I want to talk to us about the case of missing faith. The case of missing faith. God wants to help our unbelief. But this is not something that we can just sit back and wait for God to do all by himself. We have a part to play in this too. How many of you want to increase your faith tonight? Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. For our church, I believe God's wanting to take all of us to a higher level of faith. Praise the Lord. But we have to be part of this process, okay? Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. There are some questions that people often ask themselves and others. Why am I here? What is my purpose in life? Many people, even here today, you've asked those questions before. God declares in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God thinks about us. Isn't that something? He thinks about our life, about his plans for our life. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil. And many times people are convinced that God is against them, that he means evil for their life. Through the prophet Jeremiah, though, God wanted to tell his people that his thoughts toward them were peaceful, and that in his heart and in his mind he had hope for the future that he had planned for them. And so I believe that God wants us to know in this place here tonight that he thinks about us and he has plans for us, and there's meaning to our life. We're not here just by accident, but God is up to something. I want to tell somebody here tonight, he's not finished with you yet. He's not finished with you yet. He's got more he wants to do. He's got greater things. Come on. He knows the thoughts that he thinks towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future, to give you hope. Hallelujah. And if you've been wondering that, well, God, do you even know what's up in my life? Do you even know where I'm at right now, Lord? If your faith has been struggling, if you've seemed to lost your sense of purpose and your meaning for life, and And if the enemy has beaten you up on top of all that and telling you, well, your life is just insignificant and unimportant, and if you've been going through a spiritual battle of late, and that battle, it just seems like it's getting the best of you, and you wonder if you're ever going to come out on the other side, and if your prayers keep seeming like, well, they're just bouncing off the ceiling and coming right back, and you wonder, God, are you even there? What do we do when we're faced with a case of missing faith? What do we do when it feels like everything is falling apart? Where do we turn when we feel like we just can't take it anymore? Come on, God wants to help somebody here tonight. God wants to minister to somebody here tonight. Maybe it's been a long time since you felt faith, but you can leave here tonight with increased faith. Hallelujah. You can leave here tonight with renewed faith. I want to tell you, the enemy does not want that. The enemy does not want that to happen. He wants you to stay in that place of missing faith, but there is hope. We can increase our faith. And when we come out of this trial, come on, when we come through this test, when we make it through what we're going through, the enemy's going to wish he never messed with us. Because we're not going to let this defeat us. We're going to learn whatever the lesson is that we've got to learn through this. But we're going to trust God's plan, that he's working things for our good, that he's ordering our steps, and we're going to keep on walking by faith. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, you keep on walking by faith. God knows what's ahead. God knows what you're going to go through. God's already planned it out. He's already seen it. He knows the beginning from the end. You keep on walking by faith. You keep on trusting him. God, my life is in your hands. Make a way, God. Prepare the way. Lead me forward, Lord. I'm going to trust in you. Man, I tell you, God's up to something good. God's up to something good. I believe the word of God where it talks about what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it for good. I believe that. I believe there's healings and miracles and financial blessings and family restoration, all of these. I believe there's miracles, signs, and wonders. I believe it's in store for people under the sound of my voice right now. Hallelujah. And the enemy knows it too. And so he's trying his best to steal your faith just before the miracle. He's doing his best to get you down right before the victory. Somebody needs to declare right now, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to believe the word of God. And I'm going to stand through this. I'm coming through this one way or the other. God is in control. The case of missing faith. Faith is so vital. It's so important. If you study the miracles of Jesus, what made the difference in them receiving their miracle? It was their faith. All you got to do is go just read through the Bible. Matthew 9:22. A woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. She came behind Jesus, touched the hem of his garment. Jesus said to her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Two blind men cried out to Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us. Matthew 9:28-29. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came unto him. And Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. It was according to their faith. A woman of Canaan came to Jesus crying out for her daughter that was grievously vexed with the devil. At first, Jesus ignored her. Then he said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she worshiped him. Then he said, it's not right to take the food from the children and throw it to the dogs. Oh, how many people today have been like, oh, fine. He don't want me here. I'm going to go. But she came again and said, oh, but the dogs, they eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And in Matthew 15:28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. It was because of her faith. A woman bought an alabaster box of ointment. She washed and anointed Jesus' feet. And there were those there that made a big old deal about, you know, she's a sinner and how much, look how much she's wasting and, you know, all of this. But what did Jesus say? Luke 7:50, and he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. In Luke 17:19, it's just over and over and over again. Jesus had healed 10 lepers. One came back to give him thanks. And Jesus said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. They tried to silence Bartimaeus, but he cried out all the more. In Luke 18:42, and Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. The enemy knows how important our faith is. That's why he keeps trying to steal our faith. It's a constant battle. If he can get us discouraged, come on, if he can get us looking at all of our problems instead of looking at Jesus, if he can keep us from praying, if he can keep us from worshiping, if he can keep us from the Word of God, if he can get us distracted to where it steals our faith, then the enemy knows it may keep us from our miracle. I want us to think about something here tonight. I think of all the people in the Bible that didn't receive their miracle. All the ones, now let me be clear. Think about all the ones that Jesus wasn't able to heal. This little play on words, okay? Think about all the ones that Jesus wasn't able to deliver. All the ones that he wasn't able to do anything for. We're kind of coming up short, aren't we? But read with me one time that did happen. Matthew 13:54. When he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters? Are they not all here with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Now, I believe God can do anything. I believe God can do absolutely anything. However, for some reason, he chooses to work through our faith. So could he have forced healing upon them? You know, that's up to the Lord. God can do anything. But for whatever reason, he did not mighty works, many mighty works there. Because of their unbelief, it held back their miracle. I don't want to hold back God from what he wants to do. Hallelujah. Everywhere else he went, he was casting out devils. He was opening the eyes of the blind. He was opening deaf ears. He was healing those who were sick. He was raising the dead. He was doing miracles everywhere he went. People, all some had to do was just touch him, and they received their miracle immediately. But when he went to his own country, he did not mighty works there, many mighty works there, because of their unbelief, because of their lack of faith. God wants to get our faith to the place where absolutely anything can happen. Hallelujah. I believe God is trying to raise our level of faith collectively up to a place where we're going to see signs and wonders and miracles where we've not seen them before. I believe God is already doing it, and he's saying, I've got more greater works than these shall you do. Hallelujah. So the disciples tried to cast a devil out of a man's son, and they failed, and the man brought his son to Jesus. And Matthew 17:17, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil. He departed out of him. The child was cured from that hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. God is wanting us to get our faith to that kind of level where nothing is impossible. The next verse says, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. It takes faith, it takes prayer, it takes fasting. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It doesn't say that without faith, it's hard to please God. No, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Help us, Lord. Help us, God. The enemy wants to steal our faith so that we can't please God. How many people are in churches all over the world, and God has called them to a ministry of faith? God has called them to a ministry of healing. God has called them to a ministry of miracles. But somewhere along the way, the enemy has caused them to lose faith. And instead of speaking life and health and victory, they start focusing on the negative. They started looking at all their circumstances and their faith. It stumbled. And instead of doing great things for God, now they're barely able even to come to church. And now instead of praying for others in the altar, now they're having a pity party for themselves about how bad their own situation is. And instead of encouraging somebody about how God is so good, now they've got to have somebody pick them up out of the dumps. Come on, that's not God's plan. That's a case of missing faith. Because the enemy realizes how powerful our faith is when it is strong. Oh, I believe somebody here tonight, God wants to do a transformation in your faith. Your faith is about to be increased. There's about to be a change in your whole life because your faith is going to make the difference. Sometimes I like to hear preaching from people that have been through some stuff. And, you know, when I was a young preacher starting out, I probably preached about some things I didn't know too much about, but. But I can identify with this man. Mark 9:23, Jesus says to the boy's father, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. There are times that we all have questions. Moments where we wonder, God, what are you up to? There's times when a cloud of doubt tries to come, attack our mind, and our faith can struggle. And we have to take an active approach to be sure that we're going to be controlled by our faith and not the doubt that comes against our mind. Miracles don't happen because we've just had perfect faith and we've never had to deal with doubt. No, I want to tell you, anybody that's mightily used by God, they've had to deal with doubt somewhere. Miracles, they happen because we deal with doubt and we focus on faith. Hallelujah. Look at those in the Bible that had this same struggle. Peter, he knew this struggle between faith and unbelief. Matthew 14, verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Now, Peter had faith enough to get out of the boat and walk on the water. And Jesus said, O thou of little faith. Woo! Where's that put us tonight? That was some crazy faith. None of the other disciples had that level of faith to get out of the boat. But Peter's little faith let him walk on the water. Oh, I want to tell you, somebody here today, you need to realize you've got to start putting your faith to work. God is wanting to do it. God is wanting to move. But sometimes we've got to realize I get out of the safety of the boat and I've got to step out to a place where I'm not in control and where I don't have it all figured out and where I don't know all the answers, but I'm going to have to trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Of course, his faith struggles because he sees the wind and the waves and all of this going around, all the turmoil and trouble around, and he starts to sink. But Jesus saves him. I'd rather get out of the boat and try to walk on water and Jesus have to save me than to be sitting in the water or sitting in the boat just looking. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you don't have that kind of personality, but there's just something inside of me that says, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to stand on the Word of God. I'm going to worship Him in the middle of the storm. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. What about Thomas? John 20 and 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. What was Thomas saying? You know, this just seems too good to be true. He says, I've got to see it for myself. There was a measure of faith there, but his faith was struggling. And a few days later, Jesus appears to them. He shows up in a room where they're at, all the doors locked and closed, and suddenly he appears in their midst. John 20, verse 27, then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but be believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. There's a blessing on us here tonight because I haven't physically touched his hands. I haven't physically put my hand in his side, but I believe he's alive and well, and so do you. I want to tell you there's a blessing. There's a blessing on us. Amen. God wants to bless your faith. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. So how do we solve the case of missing faith? If we realize tonight that we are lacking faith, maybe our faith has just really taken a hit lately, and we're just struggling, or maybe we have faith, but we want to have more faith to see greater things. How do we solve the case of missing faith? How can we increase our faith? Are you ready? Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. Oh, no, Pastor, I want something more than this. This is too simple. Pastor, I want the Lord to strike with lightning and write the answer to my situation out on my driveway. Wouldn't that be nice? I want a booming voice to just knock me down to the earth, and all of a sudden he tell me it, and that'll help my. But here's the answer, folks. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. Faith comes. Faith cometh. Faith comes to us. If we're missing faith, we can get faith to come to us. How? By hearing. And hearing by the word of God. There's two parts there. By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We probably all had that experience of trying to talk to somebody and then realizing somewhere in the conversation that they really weren't hearing what we were saying. I mean, some of your parents have probably had that. Some of you kids have probably had that, trying to talk to your parents, and you feel the same way. And they were distracted, or maybe they just didn't want to hear it, or whatever the reason, they weren't hearing what we were saying. And I wonder how many times God has that experience with us. He's trying to talk with us. He's trying to show us something in his word, but we're distracted. We've got too many irons in the fire, or maybe we just really didn't want to hear what he had to say, because we knew if he really told us what he's probably going to tell us, we're going to have to change some things, and we're going to have to give up some stuff, and we're going to start to have to live different. So God, I don't. Come on, somebody. And so we really didn't hear. How many times do we read the word of God and we're not really hearing because we're just trying to get through our Bible reading program, and we're just trying to check off another day, and we're just trying to get through the habit that we're keeping, which is good. Don't stop that. But when you read the word, we've got to put everything else out of our mind, because I've got to hear what the word saith. Because I need to increase my faith. Hallelujah. I believe today that the weakness of the church, I believe today that the weakness of young people in God's church, I believe today that the weakness of elder saints in the church that have seen great things in the past, but now their faith is weak. I believe it's because we lost the word, we've lost the love of the word of God, and we don't read it like we used to, and we don't hear it like we used to, and it doesn't take priority in our life like it used to. And God's saying, this is a case of missing faith. But somebody needs to get out your Bible, and you need to start reading it like you've never read it before, and you need to start applying it in your life, and something's going to happen. All of a sudden, your faith is going to start to rise, and you're going to start to look at things differently. And now doubt and unbelief will try to come, and you'll say, oh no, you don't. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to trust his word. I'm going to stand on his promises. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. This is more than just casual listening. My son, give attention to my words. Pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. One Bible scholar described it this way. He said, we've got to listen listeningly. We've got to listen listeningly, okay? It's not a way we'd normally talk, but it kind of just, it explains it there. Sometimes we listen, we're just, you know. This is not just listening with one ear while we're paying attention to something else in the other. You know, young people today, they take pride in being able to multitask. They'll be FaceTiming someone, working on homework, listening to music, eating, all at the same time. Okay? Well, this is not something you can multitask with. Hallelujah. No, we're listening to God's word with everything we've got because I really want to hear what he's saying. How do we increase our faith? How do we solve the case of missing faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've got to hear. We've got to really hear the word of God. And in a day where we hear all kinds of stuff, and so much of it is not uplifting, so much of it is not godly, it's safe to say that most Christians today, they hear more each day that is not faith-filled than is faith-filled. That impacts our faith. Sometimes when we're going through something, we have to learn that there's certain people that we don't talk about it with, because they're not going to build up my faith about this. They're going to drain my faith. I'm sorry. Sometimes that's just the way it is. When you're going through something, you got to realize there's certain friends that I can't hang around them right now because they're going to drain me of the little faith I got. We don't need to hear anything negative. I want to hear a good report. Hallelujah. And so with all the negative input coming in at us from everywhere in the world, we've got to make a conscious effort to counter that with positive input from the Word of God in our life. If we're not reading God's Word every day, if we're not studying scriptures that speak to us about what it is that we're going through, we are losing the battle and we are missing faith. I've taught for many years that if somebody is dealing with anxiety or a spirit of fear, they need to get them a list of faith-filled scriptures and they need to read those things several times a day. They need to take them like medicine. Okay. How did I come to recommend that to people? Because I've had days that was the only way I made it through my day. I've been in a crowd of people and had that cloud of doubt and fear come on me, and I've had to pull out my phone and get my little list, and I'm standing. They thought I was on Facebook or something. No, I was taking my medicine. I was taking my medicine. Oh, I want to tell you, folks, I know what it's like. I've been there, but I tell you, I've come through it before. Not by my strength, not by my wisdom. It was the Word of God that made the difference. Take it like a medicine. Hallelujah. I know God, I've shared with you, I know God spoke to me so directly, plainly, about taking his word as medicine for my health. And so that's what I'm doing at least 3 times a day, sometimes more. I'm reading scriptures on healing and miracles, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I'm not preaching about something I don't know anything about, okay? And over the past couple of weeks, I've heard so much from the enemy. I was going to tell you some of the stuff, and I thought, no, I'm not even going to repeat all that junk. It's meant to destroy faith. And when we listen to it And when we give ear to it and when we repeat it, when we start to believe the lies of the enemy, our faith is destroyed. How do we shift ourselves back to faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've got to control what we allow into our mind. Philippians 4 and 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. I've had some days where I didn't know if I had a lot to thank God about, but I got up out of the bed and I said, God, I thank you for another day. I thank you that I'm breathing. I thank you that I'm alive. I thank you, Lord, that I'm able to walk. I thank you I got clothes to wear. I thank you, God, for a car to drive. I thank you, Lord, for a family that loves me. I thank you for the church, Lord. I thank you for the family of God. And before long, I started feeling better, and before long, something shifted, and before long, my faith started to increase because I started focusing on the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody, there could be a change in this house right now because of what the word of God has said in this place. Faith is coming back to somebody, and you're going to leave here in victory tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe even in this house tonight that something could just dramatically shift. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And sometimes we're just in the atmosphere where the word of God is going forth, but all of a sudden it takes root and it starts doing something in our heart. Or maybe you have to go home and you have to get out your Bible. You start have to, three times a day or even more, you've got to take some medicine. But something's about to shift over the next few days. Come on, I believe that tonight. I don't believe that some of you are looking at me and saying, no, that's too easy, Pastor. No, I'm telling you, you stand on the word of God. You start putting it to the test. You're going to be a totally different person. Something's going to shift in your spirit. Some people wonder, well, why didn't I get my miracle? Why didn't I get my healing? I went to church and I stood in the prayer line and I believed God. Well, sometimes they're not doing the work that they've got to do. Sometimes we've got to do some work to increase our faith. Yes, sir. And I believe we've got to do this better as a church because we need the word of God to do a work. Sometimes you might meet somebody and they don't have any faith at all. They're in the world. They don't know anything about it. You've got to give them a little something to cling to. You got to give them a little word. You got to give them a little something that's more powerful than we are to connect them with a miracle. And they say, okay, well, I believe it. I read it and I hear what God did. I believe it. God can do it for me too. And you pray and the Lord works. Somebody just lift your hands and say, God, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. I believe your word, Lord. I believe your word. I believe your word, Lord. Yes, 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 yes. Praise the Lord. It may look crazy. It may look crazy. It may seem crazy, but sometimes you got to get the Bible and you just got to put it on your heart. And go to sleep like that. Cuddle up next to the word. Hallelujah. Come on. Sometimes you might need to just take it and, Lord, protect what's in my mind. Protect what's in my mind. Hallelujah. Maybe you got pain in your body and you need to find out wherever that pain is and you just put the word right there. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I'm trusting. Come on, I'm trusting in Him. I'm trusting in the Word of God. Somebody tonight, there's a way out of your situation. It's a case of missing faith. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you're not reading your Bible, no wonder you're struggling. If you're not studying the Word, no wonder you're sick. Come on, somebody, get in the Word. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. In closing tonight, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Wherein greatly rejoice. That sounds good. That's starting off great. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness. Ooh, that's taking a dive. Through manifold temptations. Rejoice. Verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon wrote about this verse. He said, indeed, it is the honor of faith to be tried. Shall any man say, I have faith, but I've never had to believe under difficulties? Who knows whether thou hast any faith? Shall a man say, I have great faith in God, but I've never had to use it in anything more than the ordinary affairs of life? Where I could have probably just done it as well on my own without it. Is this to the honor and praise of thy faith? Dost thou think that such a faith as this will bring any great glory to God or bring to thee any great reward? If so, thou art mightily mistaken. There's something about the trying of our faith. Faith is meant to be tried. Muscles are built to be used. And how do we grow muscles? We've got to use them. How do we grow faith? We've got to use it. We've got to use it. Praise the Lord. Somebody's going through a trial right now. Somebody's going through a battle right now. Somebody's taking some hits against your faith. God spoke to this pastor and said, you encourage them because we're building our faith. Our faith's going to be increased through this. We're going somewhere we've never been before as a church. Amen. There's great things ahead. There's great things ahead. But our faith has to come up to another level. Oh, somebody needs to get a little boldness. You need to get a little boldness, and you need to look back in the face of that fear. You need to look back in the face of doubt and unbelief, and you've got to say, I want to tell you something, fear. I want to tell you something, doubt. I want to tell you something, unbelief. You do what you want to do, but I'm going to trust in the Word of God. I'm going to stand on the promises of God. Come on, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. You stand on the Word of God and you let God figure it out. And you let God make a way. And you let God provide. Hallelujah. Is there anybody, you're struggling a little bit, but you want to come around this altar and just say, I receive this word tonight. I receive this tonight. My faith is about to be increased. I'm putting the word to work. I'm putting the word to work.